has brought you and I here today knows that you are the ones that the door needs to open onto. And indeed, that door has opened onto you in the name of Jesus. For the next couple of weeks, I want to talk to you about that open door. And we'll be looking at some things that happen on the road to Jericho. So for the sake of having a title, I call this The Road to Jericho. What did I say? The Road to Jericho. Could you please turn your Bibles with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 10, from verse 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, from verse 46 to 52. You know what? Do me a favor. It's on the screen. It's on the screen. Let's read together, all right? So I will be reading the same version. If I drop off, please keep on reading, okay? Mark chapter 10 is on the screen already, from verse 46 to 52. 1, 2, go. And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people. Okay, stop. What can't you see? All right, remember, some of us are having middle-aged crisis with our eyes, so try and put something that we can see, okay? We'll start again. 1, 2, go. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the waste. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And but he cried out a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately, amen. May the Lord bless the reason of his word in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, whatever you're asking the Lord, I believe not only has he heard you, but you will experience the manifestation of the answer to your prayer in Jesus' name. You see, the wind of change has opened a door before you that no man can shut. If he is the one that has opened that door, be rest assured that his plans towards you, they're not evil. They are good, and they're to bring you to an expected end. If indeed is the one that has opened that door, he will make all things work together for your good. Because even as you have prayed earlier on this morning, not only do you love God, but you are willing to express that love through how you share love with those who come into your space. You see, an open door has been set before you according to what we read in the book of Revelation. And through that open door, people or situations may come through that door onto you, into your own space, or you may be stepping out of your own space into a bigger space, and you will encounter people and situation on your journey and appointment to destiny. Either way, whether they're coming into you, your space, or you're going out into the space out there, one thing is certain, You will encounter situations. You will encounter people. And when you recognize what they stand for, you will be able to respond appropriately and you will not lose focus of where you're going. In the opening verse, in verse 46, verse 46 said, on the way to Jericho. In here, we see four sets of people on that road to Jericho. And all of these four sets of people have a role to play in the orchestration of destiny in the life of Bartimaeus. The Bible talks about he went out to Jericho, that is Jesus. It spoke about his disciples. It spoke about a great multitude of people on that road to Jericho. And finally, it spoke about Bartimaeus. Now, all of these four sets of people on that road to Jericho were all there as an orchestration of destiny about to be revealed and fulfilled. Now, the importance of this road to Jericho, probably you might be able to identify with it. But I want you to take note of Bartimaeus in particular. Bartimaeus needed help to survive. And that was the reason why he was on that highway begging for whatever it is to be a sustenance for his life. So please take note of these four characters in here. And when you understand what is going on, you might be able to relate with it also and have an understanding of all the people that might be around you in your space that may come through that door when you have an appointment with destiny. Verse 47 speaks to his being, Verse 47 speaks to his being in the right place at the right time. Now, I want to take notice of what is going on in here. He sat by the roadside begging. He knew somehow that there was a large crowd passing by him. And he must have found out what is going on. And he was told that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by. He was at the right place at the right time. And a door, an open door was set before him. He recognized this open door as an opportunity for him to receive a life-changing miracle. He had been receiving alms in this space for a while. But on this particular day, he could sense that what was going through his space was more than just receiving alms, but it was something that can transform his life totally. You see, where you are is where your miracle will meet up with you. My prayer is that you'll be in the right place at the right time so that your miracle will find you there indeed in Jesus' name. You see, the space that Bartimaeus found himself, he did not condemn. When you condemn the space that you find yourself, your space could be your spouse, your space could be where you work, your space could be your family, your space could be the land in which you dwell, your space could be your church, your space could be your pastor, your space could be your friends, the relationship they are in, you're involved with. When you condemn your space, you will begin to have false hope. And now what we call false hope is acknowledging the negative circumstances around you. And in your mind, you say nothing can change. You see, when you have false hope, and you have an outlook of negativity in your space, there's every likelihood that not only will you be bitter, you'll become emotionally unstable, you'll focus and complain about what is wrong with your space, and even when the miracle comes to make change, because you are so accustomed to what is wrong with your space, you will miss it. But that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But however, when you learn not to condemn the space, the place that you find yourself, Bartimaeus found himself by the highway. He did not condemn that there are so many people walking around and the dust was getting to his nose. He did not say, why are so many people walking around? I don't hear any clink clink in my plate. Somehow he had hope that his life can change. You see, when you have true hope, when you do not condemn the space that you are in, you have a positive outlook concerning the space that you are, you'll be focused on the change that can occur in that place. You will have a desire within you to the point that when the opportunity comes for your life to change, you will not miss it. You'll recognize it and you will go for it. For Bartimaeus, he had true hope within him. And when the opportunity came for him to go for it, he went for it. For here in verse 47, the Bible said, when he heard that it was Jesus Christ, he knew this was the opportunity that he was waiting for. You see, as the door opens for you, you have an encounter with four types of people or situation. Now, why I'm asking you to listen to this is that when you understand what comes through that door, when you understand the things that you may have to go through to meet with your destiny, you will know how to relate with things and you will not let anything take you backwards. You see, we walk not by sight. Rather, we should walk by faith. If you relate only with what your senses sees and feels, there's every possibility that you will go back. But we're not going back because God has opened this door for you and you will go through indeed in Jesus' name. What needs to come through that door to you will definitely come through to you and you will not miss it in the name of Jesus. Now, Bartimaeus had an encounter with four types of people. The first set of people here in verse 48. After he has cried out, Jesus, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. In verse 48, you see that the Bible said many people charged him to hold his peace. Now, this is a man that needed help and was crying out for help. But what did many people do? Say, keep quiet. You are making too much noise. Now, listen to this. If you can write it down. It's okay. The first set of people that, or situation, people or situation, it doesn't matter. It could be people, it could be situation, that will come through that door on your journey or to destiny, fulfilling miracles occurring in your life, will be the accusers. Say accusers. Now, this is not to derogate or bring anybody down or anything, but it's for you to have an understanding. It happens in life. And when you know what it is, when you understand what it is, you know how to deal with it. For those who have read the gospel, just think about Jesus. And you'll recognize that this same thing happened to Jesus. And think about all the great people in the scripture that overcame their circumstances and situations and people. The same thing happened to them. You will overcome also in Jesus' name. So the first set of people that you meet are your accusers. Their judgment of you is based on what they are seeing and based on what they are hearing of you. In most cases, the opinion that they have about you is somebody else's opinion. Not necessarily the one that they formed by themselves, but somebody else told them and they just take it out. Yeah, that must be what it is. Now, the strange thing about an accuser is that it's focused only on how you do what you do, not why you do what you do. I say that again. The focus of an accuser is on how you do what you do, not why you are doing what you're doing. They believe they have the knowledge of how you should do what you're doing. But you know what? It's you who's feeling the pinch. It's you that knows what is going on, and you're doing it how you know best. Now, this is the key. the accuser. They will hear you, but they're not listening to you. They will look at you, but they're not seeing you. There's a difference between hearing and listening. There's a difference between looking and seeing. Your accusers will constantly misunderstand and misinterpret every action and every word that you speak. Nothing you say, nothing you do will satisfy them. They will rather want to control you than to guide you. To control means to restrict you into doing things in a way that is beneficial to the person controlling. To guide is to constrain you to do something that will be beneficial to you. The difference between restriction and constraint is that restriction focuses on what you should not be doing, while constraint focuses on what you need to do. Your accuser will rather tell you what you should not be doing, and even when they tell you what to do, it's most unlikely to be beneficial to you, but might be beneficial to them. And a strange trait with accusers is that they are so easily offended. They are the ones that discourage you the most. What Bartimaeus did in here was, when the accuser said he was making too much noise, that he should keep quiet, you know what he did? He ignored them. As a matter of fact, he used their stopping him as a stepping stone to even get closer. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you must learn to ignore the voice of your accuser. What they want for you cannot be as important as what you want for yourself. Use their criticism, the accusation, as a stepping stone to go higher and better in your life. Bartimaeus ignored them. He focused on what he wanted. And my prayer is that you will focus on what you want and not the voice of the accuser in your life, in the name of Jesus. The second set of people that showed up in his life, even though it was silent, but yet they were there, were the disciples of Jesus. I will call these ones the anointed ones. What did I call them? The anointed ones. The first one are the accusers. The second one are the anointed ones. Now, who are the anointed ones? They happen to be the ones that you will look up to. Now, why will you look up to them? It's simply because you see them and you know they're in the corridor of power. They appear to be knowledgeable and influential. They are where you would like to be. They see what is going on with you. They hear the cry that you're crying for help. They are in a position to help you. But guess what? They don't. Neither do they offer a way for you to get help. They are promise makers, but they're not promise keepers. They're more concerned in using what they have to improve their own personal well-being than to help you to improve your own well-being. Their position, which they have, which you see, you will think of it that, oh, because this person is in this position, he can connect me with what I truly want. Because this person has been there, he can help me to go over this one. And because you see that, you relating with them because they look like they are powerful, they might end up to be the one that will disappoint you the most. The anointed one could be an uncle somewhere. It could be a friend somewhere. It could be somebody that you've known in the past that is somewhere where he could actually help you to get through to that place. The anointed one could be the one that has spoken a great deal about how you can make it, and you go there and say, show me the way, and say, no, it's not yet time. I'll see you later. But the important thing for you to recognize is that those set of people that you have this high hope concerning them, but yet they do nothing to help you, they're just simply anointed, but they're not helping, and they're the ones that will disappoint you the most because you have the greatest hope in them to see you through. You want to start a business? You know an uncle, you know an auntie that can finance it. It says, yes, bring the proposal, but then when it's time for you, the person doesn't, you don't see the person anymore, but you've had so much hope that this person will do it. You have a friend that has something that could help you, but the person withdraws because he's thinking that if I help this person, he might be better than me and therefore keep you in place. The disciples of Jesus could hear that man cry out. They knew what Jesus could do. They had a scribe, but for them, they rather hold their position as disciples than say, Jesus, that guy is crying out to you. So while Bartimaeus had those who were his accusers that had him and told him to keep quiet, the disciples had his cry and they were quiet and did nothing. And that brings me to the third set of people that were there. In verse 49, the Bible speaks about Jesus stood still. For somebody here, you've been crying out unto the Lord Jesus. I've come to say to you, he has heard your cry. He's standing still and is about to work miracles in your life in Jesus' name. He said, he stood still and commanded him to be called. And it says, they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. He calleth thee. The first set of people that will be coming through that door will be your accusers. They're there to discourage you. The second set of people that may come through that door will be the anointed ones. They are there to disappoint you. But the third set of people are the connectors. Say connectors. They are your cheerleaders. They will offer you real hope. They will acknowledge the reality of your situation. And they will offer you real hope and hear when the Lord calls. Hearing, because for them to say, be of good cheer, arise, he calleth thee. They knew that Jesus has stood still. They knew that Jesus wanted him to come, and they were able to transmit the message to him that, arise, he's calling you. Not the disciples, there were some in that crowd that were connectors. Now, how does that relate to our everyday life? A connector is somebody that hears and listens to your cry for help, and they make themselves available to you as a channel to a blessing. They are the ones that will hear of a job opening somewhere and they know you need a job. And they will collect the job form or send you a link, say, go and apply for this job in this place. They are the ones that know you have a special skill and they need, and there's somebody somewhere that needs that skill and they bring about a connection. They're the ones that see how relevant you are and where you'll be relevant indeed and bring about a connection and inform you about it immediately. Hearing your cry and seeing you, they have an idea of where you need to go, but they will provide the resources to move you from where you are to where you need to go. They're the ones that speak comforting words to you and they back it up with their action. They're the ones that give you gifts that will be relevant to you going to the next level. They will not just give you the fish to eat, but they will give you the fishing rod and take you to the stream and teach you how to fish. These ones are the ones that will encourage you the most. They are not the ones you're looking for, but they are the ones that will take you to what you're looking for. That's why they're called the connectors. So while your accusers will discourage you, and the ones you're looking up to for help will disappoint you, your connectors, you might not even recognize that they're there, but they hear you and they'll do something about it. They know you need help, they present themselves to help. Even though they're not the answer to your prayer, but they know how you can get there. This morning, Brother Charles was talking about his favorite story in the Bible. I encourage you to come for Bible Sunday school. It's kind of interesting. Sunday school is good. If you can make it, please do make it. He said his favorite story was a story of four men who knew that their friend was sick They cannot heal him, but they knew where Jesus was. And they went to somebody's home. They could not go through the door. They tore the roof and lowered him down. Now, in their mind, that what matters is that our friend needs to be healed, but we'll take care of the roof. They're willing to rip somebody else's house down in order to make their friend find a way to Jesus. Your connectors are your destiny helpers, as it were. They will connect you to where you're going, even though you don't know the way, but they will provide the means and the vehicle for you to get to where you're going. And I pray you'll have encounters with connectors in your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. So while we have the accusers, while we have the anointed ones that will not help, even though they have the ability to help, there are those who are connectors. They may not have much, but what they have, they will spend for you. They will do for, just for you to get from point A to point B. They may not be able to do it. If he wants to learn, let him learn. He doesn't want to learn. Oh, okay. Whatever it is, they are focused on you succeeding. They are part of your success story, but they are not the success you're looking for. They are, as it were, the forerunners to miracles in your life. When you're down, they're down there with you so they can come up. When you're up, they don't stand in your way except you're coming down. This connectors for Bartimaeus were there enough to say, he has heard your prayer. Come, he's calling you. And the fourth one happens to be Jesus himself, who is the answer to the prayer. When Jesus commanded him to come, in verse 50, we now begin to see a progression of things. Jesus said, bring him. And the moment this Bartimaeus recognized that it's time for him to leave, look at what he did. He said, he, casting away his garment. That garment is the garment of shame. That garment is the garment of old. That garment is the garment that identified his past from him. And he was ready to say, my past is gone. I'm about to walk into the newness of my life. So the moment he did this, and I want you to see what is going on here, he cast his garment away. He rose and he came to Jesus. Let me ask you one question. Was Bartimaeus blind? Hello, stay with me. Was he blind? Yes. Now, if he came to Jesus, how did he come to Jesus? If he was blind. Did you know where Jesus was? Come on now, stay with me. Did he know where Jesus was? How did he know? Hearing, but Jesus did not say anything. I hope you know that. Jesus didn't say anything to him. So Jesus was not saying, come here. No, nothing like that. How did he get to Jesus? Huh? The Holy Spirit? The connectors must have led him to Jesus. If he was blind, and there's no way here that Jesus was saying, Bartimaeus, to the left, to the right, I'm here. Nothing like that. All he said, he called thee, he cast out the garment, and he came to Jesus. There's a high probability that his connectors held him by the hand and said, I will pray with you, come. I will drive you to that interview, come. I will take you to the shop and buy you new clothes so they can go for that interview, come. I will give you the money to have a haircut so you look sharp for that interview, come. I will fly you down there so you can meet with whatever you need, come. I will arrange for a meeting for you to meet with your destiny. The connectors made that happen. Because love is not afraid, but love will make sure you meet up with what you want to meet up with. I pray that you find connectors in your life in Jesus' name. So he came to Jesus. And when he finally got to Jesus, in verse 51, Jesus asked him, what will you that I do unto thee? Was the man blind? Yes. Did Jesus know that he was blind? Yes. Why will he be asking the man, what do you want me to do for you? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus knew the guy was blind. He has been crying out to you for a long time. Finally, he came to you and now asking the guy again, what do you want me to do for you? Well, not to waste too much time, many of us are not even sure of what we want. Many of us are not aware of what we truly need in our life. You see, there are many doors, but there's just one door that you need. There are many doors, but it's just one door. There are many voices, if I can use the word voices, but it's only one voice you need. There are many calls, it's just one call you need. There are many jobs, it's just one job you need. There are many friends, there's just one friend that you need. So here, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? The response of the man was straight and simple because he had hope. He had imagination. He has always thought about what he wanted. So when they asked him the question, what do you want? He was straight to the point. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Not that I may have more money in my team. Not that you can move your crowd away, the dust is getting to my nose. But he recognized what he wanted. And all of this happened to him in the space that he was. He didn't have to go anywhere else. Miracle came to meet him where he was. And when he came, he recognized that this is what I want. So while the accusers were accusing him, he didn't respond to them. He kept on saying what he wanted to say. He didn't have to explain to himself, to the people that want to misunderstand him and accuse him for everything, that the way you're doing it is not the way it's supposed to be done. No. Right now, I'm the one that has issues. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Wherever you are, you can hear me. And indeed, the Lord is hearing somebody here today. Amen. When the disciples, those who should know better, pretended as if they didn't hear, it didn't matter to him. He kept on crying. And when finally his prayer has been answered, the connector said, let me take you to where your miracle is waiting for you. And when he finally got there, when he was asked, so what do you want? I said, this is exactly what I want. Oh, I'm not going left or right. And he got exactly what he wanted. My question to you today, as I begin to round up, is this door has opened, but do you know what you want? I mean, truly, do you know what you want? Is your asking based on what your eyes sees only, or you have a focus? And that's the whole idea about this door. Because when you don't see that door, even when things come, you will miss it out. But that is not our own portion in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to spend time talking more about this today because I want you to understand every other thing that will be happening going forward. Through that door, you'll have the accusers. Let them accuse. You focus on where you're going. Because if you have to address every accuser that accuses you of doing what you do, how you do it, you spend more than enough time and you will forget your focus. If you spend too much time focusing on those who you see have an appearance of influence and power, and yet they've been abusing you for so long, they've not made you move from point A to point B or use their resources to elevate you, leave them alone. It's time for you to let them go. Who you need are your connectors, and that's why you need to listen out. The voice of the connector is different from the voice of the accuser. A connector will show you what to do. I've often told you in this place, you see a problem, don't talk about the problem, solve the problem. If you can't solve the problem, then keep quiet. How you identify the voice of a connector is that, yes, this is wrong, but look at what is right. You can try it this way. Go back and do it again. You can do it. Encourages you, uplifts your spirit, even though you're afraid, but say, don't worry, I'll follow you. I'll go with you. No matter what it is, we'll do it together. That's what you need in your life, and you're finding this indeed in the name of Jesus. Jesus said to him, hey, if that's what you want, your faith has made thee whole, and the man followed Jesus immediately. All of what I'm saying to you this morning, my dear brothers and sisters, that through that door coming into your space will be accusers, there will be anointed people. Anointed is not just church. I'm saying even out there, people that you look up to, that they will do something and they will not do anything. They will disappoint you. And indeed, you are still being disappointed because you are looking onto those who will not do anything. You're hanging around for so long, you so much believe that, Shibi, he sees, I know you help. No. You're mistaken. They're not going to help you. It's time for you to forget about looking onto those ones that are not going to help and begin to say, where are my connectors? All you need is just one person. All you need is just one phone call. All you need is just one thing to happen that will change everything for you. And that's what I'm looking for myself and for as many of you that desire just one change. That change will come indeed in Jesus' name. You may have a plan of this is how it's supposed to be. And even as you're planning this is how it's supposed to be, something else is waiting for you. Remember the story of a guy called Saul, the very first king of Israel? You remember his story? I remind you. Saul was looking for donkeys. I hope you know that. He was looking for his father's donkeys. They were missing. Guess what he came back home with? He was anointed to become the king of Israel. What he was looking for was one thing. but it was connected with something greater. I pray that you'll be connected with something great in your life in Jesus' name. As this door has opened unto you, what eyes have not seen, even though you see disaster, what ears have not heard, even though you hear of failure, what has not entered into the heart of men, men avoid it. You, for you, you will see greatness. You will hear greatness. And you will experience greatness in this new place in Jesus' name. For everyone that must help you to sustain you in this new place, the Lord will send your way speedily in the name of Jesus. Those connectors that they may not be able to supply to you, but they will connect to where you get the supply, the Lord will bring into this space of yours in the name of Jesus. When the accusers see that you don't respond, they will leave you alone. When you take your eyes away from the anointed, you will see your connectors. And you begin to see that God is elevating you. And you're going to a new place. So therefore, my brothers, my sisters, by the mercies of God, I pray you that you will forgive and let go of your accusers. They are the ones that have brought fear and pain into your heart because they are continually misunderstanding and misrepresenting you. Let them go. That's their job. For those who you're looking up to, that they will help. They can help because they are there. They know better. They're my friend. We grew up together and all those things. Let them go. Let them go. Especially ones that say, without me, it can become nothing. It's time for you to let them go because they're going to hinder you. But look for those connectors who are not competing with you, but they're completing you. Look out for those connectors who are interested in you being elevated more than any other thing. Look for those connectors who will constrain you to do things that will bring you to a bigger place. Look for those ones that are willing to sit down with you in the mud, and then when you get out, you take a shower. Look for those ones who are willing to stand by you no matter what. Don't allow the anointed to stop you from getting in. Don't allow the easily offended to stop you from entering in, and you will make it indeed in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is the road to Jericho, and in there lies an open door. And that open door will bring you to the place of victory. It will bring you to the place of abundance and to bring you to the place of connecting with the opportunity, that single opportunity that you need to transform your life. And I say unto you, it is well with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray.